Amen. I want to bring a word to you today, and I hope that you wore your steel-toed shoes. Everybody got your boots on? If you don't, you might want to hide your toes. If this one doesn't get you, nothing will. So I titled this, Think Before You Speak, Your Life May Depend on It. Think Before You Speak, Your Life May Depend on It. Father God, we just come before you today. I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint these words, Lord, to penetrate our heart. I pray that each one of us would be challenged to watch over our words a little closer than probably what we have been. Father, this is one place, Lord, that we get very lax. And God, I pray today, Lord, that you would remind us of the importance, Lord, of our own words. God, I thank you, Lord. I ask, Lord, that let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Bible has a whole lot to say about your words, about how you speak. You know, and growing up in church, I just thought if I didn't cuss, I had it down. You know, if I didn't cuss and didn't tell dirty jokes, that was pretty much all that God had in store for me. And that is such a little part of what God expects for us with our words. Proverbs 18:21, those of you who know that word, you knew this was going to come in there. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, when you read this verse, you see that you have a choice. I have a choice whether I speak life or whether I speak death. I can speak life to a situation, or I can speak death to a situation. I can speak life about myself. I can speak life about my marriage. I can speak life about my business. I can speak life about this church. But I also have a choice that I can speak death about this church, or I can speak death about my own business. How do we do that? Carelessly. Just letting yourself react rather than thinking about what you're saying and acting. And recognizing that your words have power. Do you realize that you could be prophesying over your own life? Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 35, he says, this is the words of Christ. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil treasure brings forth evil things. So the first verse I read to you shows you that you have a choice. This verse sounds like you don't have a choice. And it makes you start to scratch your head and say, well, which one is it? It's both. You have a choice, and sometimes you don't have a choice. But what does that mean, I don't have a choice? It means out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth may be speaking. It does speak. All my life, growing up in church as a little kid, I always tried to change my actions because no one talked about the heart issues. We always talked about the actions, about what you do. It was all, the gospel at that time was you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this, you don't say this, you don't. Nobody ever said you should do. So you get to concentrating on the don'ts, and the negativity just leads you right there. But if you will concentrate on the positive side, on what the gospel tells you to do, you head towards that light, right? So the Bible is telling us, you're speaking, if you listen to yourself and you hear things that you're not happy with, you have a choice. You either change what's coming out of your mouth, and that is short-lived, or you can change your heart. You can ask the Lord to change your heart, right? You say, God, I need help. Man, I've been listening to myself and lately, and it doesn't sound so great. Will you help me? I need to put an axe to the root of this tree, and I need you to bring new root growth out of the abundance of the heart. I like to say out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth blunders, because that's what happens mostly, right? Hebrews 11:3 says this. I'm going to read two verses in Hebrews, 11:3 and then 1:3. I want you to catch the difference. He says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God formed everything that you see on this creation. God spoke it into existence. Then Hebrews 11:3 says this, talking about Jesus. He says, 1:3, he says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Do you realize right now God is holding this world in existence by the power of the word? Isn't that remarkable? Do you know they have found out in my lifetime that the universe is still expanding? You know why? Because the word of God is still out there. We are being held together by the power of his word. Do you realize he put that same ability in us? We are made in his image. God has given us something very, very unique. And that's that little member under your nose. And you can either use it for the good or for the bad. And we are trained to use it badly. So thank God for his word, right? Romans chapter 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father. He's talking to Abraham. He said, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God calls things that are not as though they are. He calls things into existence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, since we have the same spirit of faith. You know, we talk about faith all the time in the church, but we don't understand how powerful it is. I think that Jason just talked about it a little bit. We sort of stay in hiding as a church rather than advance the kingdom. And if we understood the power of God that's within us, we would take that faith and we would use it to promote, to push forward the kingdom of God. He says, we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. So now he's getting ready to make a statement here. You got to catch it. I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. You may not understand how much that you speak what you believe. Well, I don't think we'll be able to make our house payment this month. Ooh, bad words. Treva, I got a mole on the back here. I'm thinking it's cancer. You get this? And I know, if you're not in tune to this, if this is the first time you've ever heard this message and the Lord has not brought this message to life in you, you think right now that I'm a fool. Because it sounds foolish. And the devil's laughing. The devil saying, yeah, you keep thinking it's foolish. Because as long as you think what I'm saying is foolish, you're not going to put it into effect in your life. And Satan will have his way with you. I'm telling you, we need to watch what we speak. We need to be. Have you ever come to a point in your life where you just knew in your spirit the next words that I speak are going to be very important? You ever had a time like that? Have you ever raised teenagers? There are times when you're raising your kids that they're going to ask you questions and you're going to know just like that, these words are important. I can think of many times in my life that I thought, dear Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. I don't want to teach my child something wrong. You know, I say that all the time about you too. Help me, Jesus, to say words of life over you. James chapter 1, verse 26. He says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. clanging cymbals, like Jason says. If you would, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. James chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. I'm just trying to give you a lot of word on this. And there are so, if you just study the tongue and words in the Bible, if you do a search, man, you're going to be inundated. And the Lord talked a whole lot about this. But James puts it about as bluntly as anybody that I know. He says, "My brother, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." What does a teacher do? He speaks. He's speaking. "For we all stumble in many ways, in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man," that means mature, "able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. And every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." I like to give credit where credit is due. And I'm going to teach you four principles about this passage, and I learned them from Robert Morris. And I would encourage you to write them in your Bible, write them somewhere, because he just labels it so easy that it will help you. Number one, the first principle, the tongue is disproportionately powerful. In other words, it's one of the smallest members of your body, and yet it gets you into so much trouble. Has anyone in the house ever put their foot in their mouth and then tried to get the other one in too, right? How many times growing up did I get into fights because of my mouth? I know you think I'm an angel and I'm really close, but 3 times growing up in school, I was taken to the principal's office and given corporal punishment. And you know, I will tell you every time, I probably should have been taken 23 times instead of 3, but every time, you know what got me in trouble? I like to talk. I like to tease. And at that time, I sort of liked to fight. And so, you know, it was always getting me into trouble, and it still does. You know, one of the things that will help you immensely, if you'll learn not to react with this, if you will give the Holy Spirit just a moment before you speak, you'll find that that's all he needs to change the words. Just, you know how when someone comes up to you, immediately you want to get back, you want to say something? Well, how about husbands and wives, right? No, let's not go there. Let's go anywhere but there. You know, when someone says something to you, it's like putting on the boxing gloves. You want to retaliate. And the Lord is wanting to teach us, give me a second. Before you respond, just pause. Just a second. And let me control your thoughts. Let me control that little member. That little member under your nose gets you into so much trouble on life. But here's something more. It may send you to hell. Am I speaking truth? Yeah. You know, the Bible says that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize how important confession is? Confession, when it speaks in the Bible, is not just talking about vomiting up all your sins. Confession, most of the time in the Bible, is saying the same words that Christ said. Learning to change the way you speak to where, I think it's hupomeno is the Greek word for confession in the New Testament. Hupomeno, meaning speaking the same words as Christ. And so, even though the tongue is disproportionately powerful, God can get a hold of your tongue. The second thing is it's inherently evil. It's inherently evil. We do not have to teach our children to speak evil. It comes pre-programmed in those little babies. Isn't that wonderful? For those of you that disagree with me, sign up for nursery. Keep the nursery. How many of you that have raised your children have talked to your little guys, and when they speak back, you know they're lying right to your face? Right? You're thinking, who taught you to lie? They didn't have to be taught to lie. It was pre-programmed in them. It's called the Adamic curse. Our tongue is inherently evil. What does that mean? It means it must be redeemed. God saved my soul and now save my tongue. Right? I'm telling you, it's easier, I think, for God to save your soul than to redeem your tongue. To redeem this takes a lifetime. And some of you have got a head start on us. We call you quiet people. Those of you that don't have this knack to just jump in with both feet and talk. But for those of us that like to talk. Hail Mary. Maybe the Lord is speaking to us all. Remember one of the first verses? The person that controls their tongue is the same as a perfect man, the same as a mature believer. Guys, if you are listening to me today, you ought to be convicted right about now. I am. You see, the tongue, I try to preach this service, preach about the tongue at least once a year. Say, glory to God. Would you mind publishing those dates? I will never publish this because you won't be here if I tell you I'm going to talk on the tongue today. Number three, it's humanly untamable, but divinely tameable. In other words, you are going to have to ask God to help you tame the tongue. He talks about how big a ship is driven by such a small rudder. Right? How a horse can be led by this little 4-inch piece of metal in their mouth. And you are led largely by that little tongue in your mouth. You may not be able to tame it yourself, but God can help you tame the tongue, to control the tongue. If Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 is really true, now you have got to decide yourself. I have decided long time ago that every word in the Bible is truth. But you have to make that choice yourself. But if you come to the same conclusion that I have come to, that this Bible is true, and Proverbs 21 says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its reward, then you better pay special attention to chapter 3 of James, because he says it's evil, it's unruly, but God can tame it. So God can change my heart to where I quit speaking evil and I start speaking good. And buddy, I want that. And number four says, it's contrastingly productive. meaning it can produce good and bad. And you have a choice in the matter on this one. Can a spring bring both bitter and fresh water? No. Can a person bless God and curse their fellow man? Yeah. It happens all the time. You know, we could talk about Ephesians where he says, let no corrupt thing come out of your mouth, only what's good. If it doesn't build up, you ought not say it. We could go and we could talk about gossip. We could talk about a lot of things. I'm just shooting you today with a shotgun. I'm just giving you a broad spectrum today that this little mouth of yours may be selling out your soul. And if you will ask God to help you, I promise you He'll hear your request. I can tell you as a man of God, God will help you in this. And if you've got a bit of an anger problem, step back. Don't talk about anger, Pastor. If you are a quick responder, then I would dare say you may be blowing this pretty regularly if you haven't asked the Lord to help redeem your tongue. I wanted to give you some examples through scriptures. The first one I wanted to bring to you is in Luke chapter 1. And it's the story of Zacharias. Do you guys remember who Zacharias was? Zacharias was the man of God. He was a priest. He was married to Elizabeth. When he was in the temple offering incense before the Lord, he's doing a priestly task. All of a sudden, the angel Gabriel appears to him and gives him a wonderful statement, a wonderful promise. Zacharias says, I've come to tell you, I'm sorry, Gabriel speaks to Zacharias. He said, I come to tell you, your wife, who is old and barren, your wife's going to have a child. And you are to name it John. Now, there was no Johns in this family, and they always named it after somebody in the family. So this was very unusual. You're to name the child John. And Zacharias spoke up, and he says, how do I know this? How can I believe what you're telling me? Now, folks, if I come to church one of these days and I'm just doing my little priestly duty of praising and worshiping the Lord and an angel appears to me, I don't think I'm going to be saying, how do you know that? How stupid, right? And the angel Gabriel, you hear just a little bit of sharpness in his response. He said, I stand in the presence of God. What I'm speaking to you, I've heard in God's presence. And then he does something so remarkable, and it looks like something very stern. He strikes him mute. He said, you will not speak another word until your wife has this baby. And at the first glance, you think, whoo, that's harsh. And then all of a sudden, maybe a second thought comes to your mind and says, that's not harsh, that's grace. That's the mercy of God. How often I'd wish, God, I wish 10 minutes ago, I wish you had struck me mute. Where I didn't say that stupid thing to that person. You see, it was actually the grace of God. Because Zacharias, if he had kept speaking that doubt, fear, and unbelief, he may have messed up the plan of God. Maybe we would have never had a John the Baptist. We are studying in our Sunday school class today. There's in the book of Exodus, when God is speaking to Moses around the burning bush, and the Bible says that the anger of God come out. And we heard this pastor say he wasn't mad at Moses, he was mad for Moses. That's different. You know, God knows your destiny. God knows what He has put in you that He wants to change the world with. And oftentimes, we speak against God's plan for our own lives. How often do we say, I'm insignificant, I'm not able, God, I'm not smart enough, I'm not powerful enough, God, you need to choose someone else. It's what Moses was saying, and God got mad. You know why? Because God knew what he wanted to do with Moses. He knew that he was going to change the world through Moses. I believe that's what was happening right here. God knew that this world needed a John the Baptist. Jesus needed a pre-runner before he came. So he struck him mute until the baby came. And then all of a sudden, his mouth was open. And they said, in his first words, "We're going to name him John." Why? Because he went back in time to where he saw an angel appeared to him and spoke to him, said, "You name that boy John." There's another story in Matthew chapter 8 about a Roman centurion. He wasn't even Jewish. A Roman centurion came to Jesus one day. He said, "My servant is lying paralyzed." He's just a servant in his household. But he cared enough about him. He said, "This guy is sick. He's paralyzed, and I'm afraid he's going to die." You know what Jesus said? I'll go with you. I'll lay my hands on him. I'll heal your servant. And the next few words are remarkable, to the point that Jesus marveled. The Roman centurion looked at Christ, and he said, "It's not necessary that you go with me." He said, "You just speak the word." He said, "See, I'm a man of authority, and I'm a man under authority. And I know when I give a command, it better be done." He said, "I'm not worthy that you should come to my house. But Jesus, if you'll just speak the word." Man, I think all of us love this story, right? We all look at this story and think, "Oh, man, if I had faith like that Roman centurion." Even Jesus stopped and said, "Such great faith have I not seen in all of Israel." And we marvel at that. But I hope today you'll quit marveling and you'll start saying, "Make me that way. God, let me understand that the words of my mouth today in 2021 could be just as powerful as that Roman centurion. What if I understood the power of your word and the power of the word coming out of my mouth?" You know, Hebrews, I think it's 4:12, says the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. One preacher said it was sharp when it came out of the mouth of Christ, and now it's sharp when it comes out of your mouth. Oh, if we would speak the word. You know, it takes a training. I will tell you this. You'll not speak the word until you study the word. I'm starting to hear people catch it. You'll not speak the word until you study the word. The psalmist said, "Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against him." I want to tell you one more example of a lady who spoke the word of God. She's called the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. We're never given this lady's name. But this lady had a desire to do something godly. This lady had a mind to serve the kingdom of God, the servant of God. She goes to her husband and she said, "You know, every once in a while, Elisha the prophet comes through our town." Town wasn't like it is today where we have Motel 6s, right? He had to stay somewhere. And she said, "I think that we ought to build a room on our house and just for him. Let's build a room up here. Let's furnish the room. And any time the prophet can come through town, he can stay in that room. That will be his room." Don't you love it when people get a heart for God? People can't teach you that. It just comes. God, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice today would have a heart for your kingdom. Elisha wanted to do something for this woman. And so he asked his servant Gehazi, he said, "What does she need?" And she was a modest woman, didn't ask for anything. And Gehazi said, "Well, she doesn't have a child. This woman is barren. She has no heir. And her husband is old." That's just thrown in there. Her husband is old and she don't have a child. What does that mean? It means a child for that woman meant her her future. Her future is in jeopardy because she has no children and her husband is old. What is she going to do to provide for herself? It was up to the children at that point to take care of their elderly parents, and she has no one. So he brings this woman in and he tells her, he says, this time next year you'll be cradling a baby. She says something like this, Kelleher version, don't you play with me. Hey, we're not playing games here. Don't you tell me something that's not. I think if there's a word that the church ought to get today, it's this. If you prophesy for God, you make sure it's God. Don't tell me things that are not and say, God told me to tell you. A lot of people saying a lot of things. It's funny. God seems schizophrenic right now. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, he tells us Trump's going to be president and then Trump's not president. Then he tells us this is going to happen and that doesn't. Oh, through the man of God, they're prophesying all kinds of things and it's not coming true and it bears no consequence on the body of Christ. We're still listening to the same people that missed it. We need to wake up. Anyway, that was, let's jump out of that camp. So she has this child a year later. This child's growing up. He's now a young lad. We don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us how old he is, but he's old enough to be working in the fields with dad. One day when he's working in the fields, he says, oh, my head, my head. Now, science would probably tell us he had a stroke at a very young age. And so the child, the dad grabs him up, sends him with a servant, said, take him home to mom. She takes him and she takes him up into the, she's holding her son and he dies in her arms. He's dead. The kid is dead. She takes him and goes up into the prophet's room and lays him on the prophet's bed. Dead. She tells the servant, get me a donkey, get me something. I need to go see the prophet. As she's going, she meets a guy, Gehazi, she meets her husband, and he says, how's our boy? You better read this. How's the boy? He was hurting in the field. How's the boy? It is well. That's so powerful, folks. It wasn't well. He was dead. In the natural, she should have said, our life is falling apart. Our son is dead. But she didn't, because she was speaking out of a different part of her mind. She was speaking out of her spirit. She said, it is well. She goes on, she meets Gehazi, the servant of the prophet. And he says, how is everything? She says the same three words. It is well. She goes to the prophet. And I believe the Bible talks about her kneeling, I think, at his feet. I think a more appropriate word would be crumble. She crumbled at his feet. Have you ever felt like you're just holding things together? I'm just doing my best to hold it together right now. And sometimes when you come into the presence of God and you begin to feel the moving of the Spirit of God, it's just like you can't hold it any longer and you just crumble in His presence. It's a good place to crumble. He's the only one that can put us back together again. He just looks at her. Gehazi goes to get her, goes to remove her. And he tells Gehazi, leave her alone. Leave her alone. He finally gets what's going on, what's happening. He sends Gehazi, he said, take my staff and go and lay it on the child and speak over him. Gehazi does that and nothing happens. But the prophet says, I'll be right behind you. The prophet comes behind Gehazi where nothing worked. The prophet goes up there and the Bible gives such specific instructions. He says he lays on top of the young boy. He puts his hands to his hands, his face to his face, his mouth to his mouth. And he begins to pray over this young boy. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And there was something in the prophet that would not give up. He would not stop. Oh, for that kind of tenacity in the Spirit of God. You know, sometimes it's hard to get Christians to pray once. But to continue to pray when everything is going wrong, to continue to stand like the prophet told us, like Paul told us in Ephesians 6, when you've done it all, stand. When you don't feel like standing, stand. Stand in faith and guard your words. Because out of your mouth may come something so powerful. He just prayed for that young man. And the Bible says all of a sudden, that boy started sneezing. Sneezed 7 times. He picks the young man up, takes him back to his completion, right? The world was made in 7 days, completion. I think God was just saying, it's done. It's complete. He takes the boy, takes him back to his mama. Said, here you go. And I think this is the story where she says this. I'm not for sure. You had to read it yourself. 2 Kings 4. Where she says, now I know you really are the man of God. All this time she's been providing for him. She's been caring for his needs. But she says, now I know. Folks, I don't know what you're going through. But I know when the Lord gives me a sermon like this, oftentimes people are going through some troubled waters. And I guess I'm just come with a word of encouragement to tell you, watch your words. Watch your words. Let's speak life. You know, a few years ago, it went through back through the body of Christ that when you say something that is not, if you've got a cold and somebody says, how you feeling? You say, I'm all right. That you're lying. You're not lying. You're speaking from a different perspective. When this woman said, it is well, she was looking from a different perspective. Folks, there's not a mama on earth that her son would die and she would say, it is well. That's not normal. That's supernatural. That comes from a place in her heart that held hope, that held on to the Word of God, that probably said something like this, God wouldn't have given me that boy to take him away. I'm clinging to this. Are you clinging to something today? Is it possible that you're having to fight for a belief? Maybe you're fighting for your marriage or your maybe a job or maybe just a belief. Maybe you're fighting a fight for someone else. Maybe you're believing God that someone's going to get saved. And at this point, they're doing everything beyond that. They're acting like a total heathen. And you can either speak that or you can speak words of faith. You ever heard someone say about their own children, well, that kid's probably going to wind up in jail before he's 18. Dear God, watch your mouth. You get what I'm saying? I think we need a new revelation on the words of our mouth. We have something powerful within us and it's called the Holy Spirit. And you got the choice to either speak life or death. You have a choice on which perspective you're going to live this life. I want to live this life from the perspective that God sees it, not the way Eric sees it. I think God wants to rock our world. And the only way He's going to do that is through you. God's going to rock our world, but He's going to use you to do it. Are you willing? Are you willing to be accountable for your words? Now, right about now is when you probably need to be repenting. Jesus, forgive me. And you need to be saying, God, I need some crop failure. I've planted lots of seeds of bad seeds. And I'm going to ask you, God, don't let that harvest come. You know, I think that's a good prayer. God, I've said a lot of stupid things. Would you let those seeds die? And would you let the seeds of life bear fruit in my life? You have a choice today. You can change your world. You can change. I know you think I'm getting a little freaky here, but you can change your future. You may be able to change someone else's future. You start speaking life. What are you saying over your grandkids? Grandkids are wonderful, aren't they? Precious. But you know what? You know, our children don't discipline our kids like we discipline them. And I will almost make you a promise, your children are not raising their children like you taught them. In my case, they're actually teaching their children the exact opposite of what the way I raised them. I think they're sending me a message. Dad, you did it wrong, but we're going to correct this thing. So I have a choice. I have a choice to say my fear, or I can speak faith over my grandkids. I can speak that they're going to be men and women of God. I choose that one. Would you stand with me? There is absolutely no reason to give an altar call today. Because if there's an ounce of honesty within you, you would have to respond to it. So everybody, every one of us would have to be up here. You see, the message about the words of your mouth and about your tongue hits every one of us. Every one of us. I don't care if you've been saved all your life, you still have to guard this thing. And you still slip from time to time. There's still times when you say, why did I say that? God, forgive me for saying that. He that controls the tongue is the same as a perfect man. There's no perfect people in here. But there are people that are endeavoring to do better, right? You see, it's humanly untamable, but it's divinely tameable. I want to pray for you, but you need to pray for yourself. God, help us to tame this tongue. Father God, I come before you and I thank you, Lord, for the words in your book. I thank you, Father, that, Lord, for the wisdom that you have put in this book to instruct us, Father. God, it's not our human nature, but we're looking to be divinely positioned. God, we need the divine nature of God flowing through us. You said that you have made us partakers of the divine nature of God. So, Father, I thank you for the promise that Peter told us about. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us to not only guard our tongue, but to hesitate for a moment and not speak quickly. To allow the Holy Spirit to give him the utterance, Father, over our life. God, we do repent. Lord, every one of us have rebelled. Every one of us has spoken wrongly. Lord, we've messed this thing up and we're just very honest. We humble ourselves before you. There are no perfect people in this church today. We are all people that need your help. We need that divine touch of God to help us. God, every one of us in just a few minutes is going to leave this building and we're going to go someplace in this city. We're going to go back to our home, but we're going to have the opportunity probably today to speak life or death. I pray, Father, that we would be sensitive to your spirit and that we would choose to speak life. God, I pray that each one of our hearts would be good ground. You said out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. So God, we're asking you, change our hearts. Lord, replace the evil with good. God, we repent, Lord, of everything that we've filled our minds with. Lord, many of us have put some ungodly things before our eyes, not realizing the impact that that makes in our spirit. God, I'm asking you to forgive us for that. Lord, we choose you. I choose to walk in the fear of God. I choose to walk in the wisdom of God. I choose you, Lord. I choose that you would take control of my tongue. I choose today that I would speak life. And I choose today that I would bless you and I would bless men. Lord, I choose to bless my grandchildren, to bless my children, to bless this church. God, I choose life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Danny, would you come and end this?
I don't know if that's for me or him, but either way, raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, with nothing missing and nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.